Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Welcome to another edition of Around the Coin. My name is Faisal Khan. I'm joined with Brian Romley. How are you, Brian? Good to see you after a long time on the mic.
Yes, good to be here, Faisal. It's been a long time, but we're back, and we are going to be back for a long time here.
Yeah, I think we should officially say that July is our time off for the year when we take vacations and get a little busy in certain things. Is that right? Is that right to say? Even?
Sort of. Yeah, yeah. You know, we don't mentally leave, but we definitely take time to sort of regroup and take some insight on what the last year has given us and what the next
absolutely,
year is going to give us.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a lot of travel for me for the past 35 days, and I'm back in the seat, and it's great to be back, you know. Looking forward for increasing viewership, listenership for Around the Coin. We're going to be adding more interviews, bringing more guest co-hosts with us, and essentially taking it to the next level, which we've been promising for a while. But, you know, things get it. I guess we are now at the cusp of where we can take it to the next level.
I think that's an accurate description. And things behind the scenes are moving, folks. And I think you're going to be very surprised about what comes up ahead. Faisal and I have been brainstorming, and we're going to be giving you some incredible new opportunities in the future. So stay tuned for that.
So it's a great. I mean, you know, we'll delve into the Money 2020 and the other events that I attended. But I think the most pressing thing today right now is it is the 30th of July when we are recording this show. The show will go out today. In exactly 2 days' time, on the 1st of August, the Bitcoin fork happens. So a lot of people are confused, including myself. I don't prophesize to be an expert in this thing. I learn as much as everyone else. And this whole BTC versus BCC and this, you know, form of code versus the other form of code. So, Brian, I'm going to throw a series of questions so our viewers can, our listeners can understand it. First of all, why is the fork happening? And what technically, first of all, why is the fork happening? I'll have you answer that.
Sure. You know, a lot of people use this terminology in a way that probably is a bit of a misuse. Bitcoin has been hard forking for quite a while. Hard forks take place when the code base needs to change and there is a consensus amongst miners. The miners control this to decide to realize that fork is the right direction. Whenever software is updated, there were some flaws in the Bitcoin code initially, and there have been dozens of these hard forks. This fork is slightly different in the sense that it is creating a new version of Bitcoin. But what makes it complex is that this hard fork is going to take the entire blockchain with it on both directions, and that creates very much an environment that's sort of like a stock split. And I think the biggest issue in communicating this to common folk, us folks out in the middle of the
folks like you and
world,
me, you and
yeah,
I,
right, is that it's best used as an example of a stock split. And I love using the eBay PayPal stock split. Anybody that was in eBay stock before the eBay PayPal split rightly owned both shares of the stock when it split. That is generally what happens when we split a stock. And that means that you can rest assured that post-split that you own X numbers of shares of eBay, X numbers of shares in PayPal. In a perfect world, that split is 50-50 and you own equal parts. In some splits in the past, it's been a ratio based upon market capitalization, etc. Anybody that invested in eBay before the split is exceedingly happy post-split, especially now looking back with 2020 hindsight. I encourage a lot of people to participate. I don't give investment advice, by the way, but I just said, hey, mentally participate in this. And that mental participation would have yielded you a tremendous return. PayPal has taken off like a rocket. Now, if your stockbroker one day called you up just before the split and said, hey, we politically disagree with stock splits, especially this stock split, and we really don't want to support it, so we're going to give it benign neglect, and we're not going to give you your eBay shares. We're just going to give you your PayPal shares, and I'm not even going to tell you what we're going to do with the eBay shares. This is kind of the quagmire where we are today with many folks. And this
and when we mean many folks, we actually mean many exchanges and wallet owners, wallet companies, etc.
Software online wallet owners. If you're using the Bitcoin full implementation, you will own 100% BCC and 100% classic.
So theoretically,
Bitcoin.
If I own one Bitcoin after the stock split, I should own one BTC and one BCC, correct?
Exactly. And the market will judge what the value is of that BCC. So looking through these lenses, it is abundantly obvious that the political arguments over big Bitcoin blocks, small Bitcoin blocks, completely irrelevant for the user. The user cares not what the engine is. The user cares about its interface. And the interface to Bitcoin is through their wallet. And one day they're going to come back into their wallet and only see Bitcoin, while their friends who had hardware wallets or other types of full wallets have two things. And one has value, and the other one has value. Now, one could argue philosophically in a debate that BCC will wind up crashing and nobody will use it. I don't care. The fact is, I want to be able to participate in that coin if it, in fact, does create some value. And, I understand technically you don't want to support the coin. That's perfectly fine. But what are you going to do with the value of that coin with my online wallet? See, an online wallet is holding your encrypted keys, if you will, which represent your coins, pre-split. And post-split, it's their keys and their coins ex post facto. So,
In plain English, what you're saying is they could essentially be stealing your coins.
That is the optics, and you have put it right on the nail on the head.
I mean, that is a very serious thing. If after, let's say I had 10 bitcoins before the fork, after the fork I have 10 bitcoins, 10 BCC coins, the exchange says I will continue to support bitcoins, but theoretically I have been issued the 10 BCCs, except they're not being given to me. And who has them? Well, the exchange has them. And if the value goes up, well, they get to make money on it, don't they?
Hit the nail on the head, Faisal. And I know that there are companies out there that want to do good. I will name Coinbase as a company that wants to do good. I think they have gotten caught in the haze of the political
debate. Coinbase is in a controversy right now, isn't it? Because
yes, it is.
And if you just maybe take a minute to explain to our listeners why, because I think from what my understanding is, Coinbase is saying, take the BTC, but we will not give you BCC.
In fact, it's worse than that. Because us nerds, us technologists, are caught in these political debates, which we should, but we should also realize that listening in is the rest of the world. And the rest of the world doesn't care about the software and the politics of this size block and that size block. What they care about is, are they going to get true value? Is a fiduciary duty of the company I trusted my value with, are they following the fiduciary duty? In the final event, no matter what their licensing agreements say, no matter what their declarations say, no matter how much red lines they put at the top of their website saying you will lose your BCC, and they're not saying that, by the way, but let's just say if they are, and I will get to what I think they're saying, and it's not been publicly stated, but it's been sent to me offline. What they are saying is, if you want to participate in BCC, remove your money from Coinbase right now. And that is a political statement.
And you don't have much time, right? So things might actually get hectic tomorrow.
It might be impossible to actually have this really all happen. And in fact, there is a possibility that things could get lost in the translation. And this does not need to be this way. All these companies need to do, hear my voice, it's very simple, is to tell their users, their clients, the people who have fiduciary responsibility for, to say to them, your BCC is safe with us. We're not going to support it. We're not going to trade it. But if you leave us, when you leave, on the way out, you get BCC and you get Bitcoin, because that is the proper and equitable thing to do. By not stating that explicitly, there is this belief, maybe folklore and maybe reality in some places, that, oh, we don't think BCC is of any value, but if it does get valuable, boy, oh boy, are we going to get some yachts from this? So,
but
you know,
but why this difference of opinion? Why say that we will not give you BCC? It's mine. Give it to me.
You know, it's politics.
But why even bring it up? I mean, do you know the kind of whiplash that they will get from it?
I know it. I've been silently working behind the scenes to try to motivate people, and it's done nothing. It's not like I just discovered this. I talked to a lot of companies. I said, get out of the politics hat and go into the hat of your users. They are in fear. They're angry and they're freaking out, and rightly so. They are looking for leadership. And okay, your leadership is, I don't want to support BCC. Fine. That's great leadership. But that's a technical leadership. What about the financial leadership of the value that can be found inside of BCC after the split? You need to be able to articulate that before the split so people aren't running around in fear. And we only have history to show us what happens when you fail to communicate what is going to happen to money. This is called bank runs. And unfortunately, because everybody's so emotionally attached to the battle of the technical side of this, they've missed everything. And the everything is the user. And, you know, they might even suggest the user gets screwed
in the end, right?
Well, emotionally they are. I think that Coinbase, and let's just say unofficially, I've gotten this from back channels, I think Coinbase is going to safely secure BCC for every customer and not let it go, right? Not that they could, but at least to present that case. I think they have a few hours to get that straight and to articulate that. I believe if they don't, by the time the show comes out and this matriculates, I believe that they do not clearly articulate what happens with a user's BCC that was inside of Coinbase and they didn't rush to put it into some other wallet. If that's not articulated clearly, it may be a very bad mark on Coinbase that they may never recover from.
Let me ask you another question. Why is the split happening? I mean, the foundation is issuing this new code, if you will, and the others are deciding to are sort of rebelling against it and saying, no, we're going to keep the old code, or is it something else?
It is everything above and more. Anybody can start a Bitcoin FISL if they wanted to. If 51% of the miners join that blockchain, that is a hard fork. And that fork will be the new Bitcoin moving forward. It is simple as that. It's egalitarian. And the reason why people are fighting over this is Bitcoin is too slow. It carries the every single transaction, right? Here's why some people are freaking out, and you'll get a message. If you download the Bitcoin wallet right now as a user,
10 gigabytes.
It will take up most people's hard drives. Most people don't have 400 gigabytes, 800, maybe 800 gigabytes by the time this is all done. But let's just say 400 gigabytes to operate this. You don't have the time. In fact, if somebody started to download today to move it to a hard wallet and waited for everything to download, which I recommend you not, you could be waiting a very long time to ever see your Bitcoin reappear in your wallet. And that's freaking people out also. So what is basically going on is it's up to miners. And miners have not supported in a major way BCC to the level that makes Coinbase feel happy. But here's the problem. They don't want to bifurcate Bitcoin. They want only one Bitcoin. And they want to give cold, benign neglect to anybody that will challenge it. And that's a political stance. The reality is we've created a code base that allows majority and minority. And if people decide to support the minority blockchain, right? If the minority blockchain is BCC and there's still enough miners supporting it, it is a reality now. And you can debate, you can use all these philosophical discussions, but when it becomes an a priori fact that BCC exists and it has a value of less of more than one or zero, then all of a sudden you have now robbed your users of the shared value in that. So you need to be able to take a step back, fiduciary wise.
I mean, in the real world, if a company were to do this, you know, let's take the analogy of eBay and PayPal and not issue you PayPal shares, you could go to prison for something like this.
Faisal, not only is that true, I've already been contacted by somebody inside of, let's just say, a congressman or senator's office that says that very clearly. They say, I don't care what their licensing agreement says. I don't care what they said on their website. What I care is about the consumer. And if the consumer wakes up one morning and doesn't have something that is rightly theirs, we will come down on them and regulate them to a level they've never seen before.
And that's the whole reason why licensing is done. You know, many people tend to forget it. It is consumer protection. It is so that these companies don't run away with your money. They don't commingle these funds with their administrative funds and so forth. But that's why licensing is there, so that as a consumer, you have rights, and those rights are translated into rules and, you know, snippets of law that you have to adhere to.
And indirectly, Coinbase, one of the best leaders, I think, in Bitcoin, doing this the right way. I mean, Bitcoin BTCE is a good example of, unfortunately, a way it wasn't done the right way. A lot of people lost massively on that exchange. But Coinbase has been trying to promote leadership, and this is a major fault in that direction. And I believe because we are all in a Silicon Valley echo chamber in technology, and we don't really see what this really means of the greater good. One or two grandmoms are going to get together. They're going to call. I know who they're going to call, which congressman and senator. That's all I'm going to say. And they are going to start investigating this. And what was Bitcoin in America before will be Bitcoin something else. And I think Coinbase needs to show leadership right this moment and to say, your BCC is safe with us. We're not going to technically support it, but we are not going to own it, and neither is it going to go away into nothing. So if BCC has value at some point in the future, you better get damn straight, and I would put damn straight up there, that we will support it and you will be able to trade it. Today, we don't think it will have value. This is all that needs to be articulated. And one could argue that maybe they said that in some nebulous post on Medium. That's bullshit. You don't put it in a nebulous post on Medium. You put it at the top of your website, and you say, your BCC is safe with us. You don't need to go and download a wallet to get it. Period. That's all you need to say.
And here's the funny part. Coinbase is the only one engaged in this controversy, correct?
No, there's a lot that are. But because Coinbase is a leader, they're trying to show benign neglect to the splitting of Bitcoin. And that's That's good, you know, from some perspective, because they want to sort of show a directional on what they think Bitcoin should look like, right? They support, finally supported Litecoin, Ethereum, things like that. They really are the right kiss of life for some of these ideas. But doing what they're doing without paying attention to what financial impacts this may have on people and what psychological impacts, which in turn will create regulatory impacts, is incredibly stupid. And I know what happens here. I'm not saying I have privy to what is inside of Coinbase thinking, but I'm just telling you what happens in these tech companies. Legal team sits down with the founders, with the technologists, who are generally the founders, and say, I don't want to support this shit. Legal team says, well, then you've got to make a disclosure. And then they go back and forth and they say, okay, and we're gonna teach those rebels. I know Bill over there who wants to do BCC. That guy's a jerk, and I'm going to make sure it dies. Great. Do whatever you feel like. Now, what's missing in this conversation is, hey, Mr. CEO, my grandma got coins in this platform, and she's calling me up, freaking out where her BCC is going. BCC will never be of any value. Tell her to not think about it. That is not an answer. It is not an answer to have executives publicly go out and say, BCC will never have a value and it's going to die, therefore we don't need to support it. That's not an answer. The answer is, if BCC has a value, it's safe with us. That's what banks
do. That's being irresponsible, isn't it? I mean, it's a classical definition.
Of course. And I think they're listening to
that. And if that isn't, I don't know what is.
I'm looking at the top of Coinbase right now, and it's not telling me what is happening to my BCC. It's just telling me that if I want to get my BCC, I better do it right now and take my money out of their wallet. This is designed to create a run on Coinbase. End of story. And I think the people making this are so heads down in a forest, they're not even seeing the trees. They don't even understand that this has a huge impact on the entire ecosystem, and it will absolutely create a regulatory impact. And that license agreement that their retained counsel says protects them, it does not protect them from ex post facto laws that can be created in the United States to protect consumers. And those laws may be so draconian that they would have wished that this political stance would have gone away and they had an emotional stance. They need to have an emotional stance because that's how humans operate. End of story. They don't operate on, well, you know, what kind of pistons are you using in that car? They operate, does this car perform the way it should? And they're worrying about, you know, just trivial aspects of how Bitcoin is going to bifurcate. Fine. You know, talk about that. And talk about that in the community and lead it. But to the users, you need to come back and say, trust us. You know, there's a reason why there are Grecian columns in front of banks when at the turn of the century in the United States and even prior to that. There's a reason why they had this, you know, marble and grandeur when you entered into the bank. Because banks were not covered by the FDIC in that epoch. And the only way you can communicate trust was through visual and other means, because banks literally could lose their money and everything went with it. If Coinbase does not fully get their mind straight on this and tell people where their BCC will be and that their value will not be lost, it will be very much like what happened in the bank crashes. It will very, very much be a aching sore that is begging to be regulated. And generally when that happens, it's probably not a good thing for innovation. It's asking for them to be overly regulated, and it will make them a lightning rod. And I've tried my hardest to make this clear. I'm just one voice. I'm a nobody. I got no initials after my last name and none before my first name. I just have a voice. I've been doing this for a while. I've been involved in finance for over 35 years. I know how people's minds work. And if they don't fix this quickly, it will be a demarcation point.
Wow, that is like, I mean, that's so mind-boggling that a company would take a stance and not look at the consumer angle of it. Is this also something to do with the mining pools in China as well?
No, well, yes and no, right? basically what happens is...
How so?
Well, the miners in China get to vote on the bifurcation of Bitcoin. And there are advantages to being able to be early in promoting BCC as a miner. The reality is there will be value in BCC the moment that it's created. That's an utterly clear, absolute fact. Will it swing wildly? Yeah, very much like Bitcoin does and did. Will it ultimately set at some value? Yes. Will it be zero? Never. It will never be zero. It may be abandoned, but that value was created. See, what we don't recognize is that all abstraction is in the mind of the user. The paper dollars and the coin money that we have is just an abstraction. It represents maybe philosophically some life energy, some work product that you created in your life, but it is in the mind of the user. And Bitcoiners should know this already. And they are already getting caught in their own Kool-Aid of saying, my abstraction is better than your abstraction. And that's the utter ridiculousness of this. The reality is, if I was in charge, I would embrace every bifurcation. I may not support it and actively trade it, but I'd say, hey, if Bitcoin splits 900 ways, you get 900 different versions of Bitcoin. Because you know what? We love you and we take care of you. You trust us. And you trust us to make sure that you never lose value. That's the basis of trust. And that's a basis of finance. So basically, getting back to the original question is, you know, anytime something splits to the level that this has support, and I wouldn't say it has 51% support. It's clear it doesn't. But anything that's got as much support, which it seems to be in the 40 percentile, it's going to probably sustain. And you know, all the benign neglect and all the posturing may probably not make it go away. And that's not me saying go buy BCC tomorrow. What it is saying is don't throw away the BCC you have today. That's all it is. And I think it's rational and I think it's logical. And I think we need to get out, if we're leaders, we need to get out of the philosophical debates. Notice I'm not talking about, you know, Sedgwick and all the, it's irrelevant. Mostly at this point in time. Here's the relevancy. Bitcoin needs to speed up for it to be a currency. Bitcoin is not a currency today. Bitcoin is an investment vehicle. That's all it is. It doesn't really make sense as a currency when you can spend it and tomorrow it's worth maybe 20% more, or as a merchant to accept it and it might be worth 20% less. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I never saw Bitcoin proper becoming, I've always talked about Litecoin and other things. My whole debates in the early days about nano and micro currencies, and they have to be less valuable than Bitcoin, but maybe a derivative of Bitcoin. So it was inevitable in my mind that bifurcation and fractioning of Bitcoin would probably take place. And I think it's a good thing. Here's what I hope. I hope that BCC exists. I hope that it stays stable. I hope that Bitcoin rockets to the moon like it should. And BCC may follow, but probably not anywhere near with the same velocity. And it will be stable enough for people to want to use it as a currency. And therefore, having very fast transaction times, equivalent to maybe a Visa or a MasterCard, that's the goal in theory. But that's a theory, because Visa and MasterCard actually isn't that fast. A lot of this stuff is what I call called stand-in authorization. People's credit cards, let's just say sometimes people do transactions and their credit card balance isn't even checked. There's an implied trust in the network, and that's why things can move so quickly on credit card systems. Even if the technology isn't there, and even if networks are down, there are times when Visa and MasterCard authorization networks are not operating fully. This happens. It's not broadcast, luckily. And stand-in authorizations take place. And that allows for speed. That allows for liquidity. So BCC is maybe that derivative. And I'm not saying it's the only one. I think we're going to see a lot of fracturing. And I think that's a healthy thing. I think you start drinking your own lemonade and Kool-Aid when you start thinking we're the only abstraction to this. But yes, companies do need to have leadership. I need to be able to stand up and say, this is what I support.
Let me ask you another question, Brian. So this hard fork, has it been decided that it has to happen on the 1st of August, or because of the acceptance of the BCC code, they are predicting that it will happen on the 1st of August? Because what you are implying is that 50% or 51% of the nodes or something like that will have BTC, and the others will have BCC. So there's a considerable amount of computers out there that will be mining rigs that will be running the BCC code, correct?
Exactly. You know, basically...
And what's their incentive? Do they make more money or something like that? That all these people are, you know, changing their code from BTC to BCC?
Well, the thing is, there's no central authority, really. There's just groups of people that are promoting ideas. It's the way the entire internet was built. I mean, there was no central authority saying this is how email will work. There were work groups that sat around of really intelligent people, and they debated back and forth. And unfortunately, everything created in the committee somewhat always sucks. It's just the nature of it. And it's better than nothing, but it always somewhat sucks. And that's why it's the abstraction layers that we all build on top of the internet that made it valuable. And I don't want to argue that Facebook is more valuable than email or Twitter or Instagram or something like that. What I am saying is there were significant downsides to the way the email system was built under the RFC format, and it made it a little too easy for it to be a lightning rod for spam. And it also made it very hard for certain types of things to take place. The web is the same way, so on. Bitcoin is a similar type of scenario. People got around. They said, hey, we're going to fix this. There are egos, massive egos that sit around these tables. And some say, well, I don't like what you're saying. Not necessarily what they're saying, because they don't like the person. And when you're in a small community in spitting distance of each other, and you've already made very clear that there's a stink in the room, it's very likely that there's going to be little consensus. And that's what happened. So there were different groups of nerds that got together and put together their ideas on how Bitcoin should go in the future. And people took political and scientific and technical positions. But ultimately...
Naturally.
Yeah. But it's up to one... person. It's up to the miner. The miner chooses whether or not to mine that blockchain. And I tell you what.
Can they switch back? If I go to BCC, can I switch back to BTC? What implication would that have?
Okay, so once a fork takes place, when you do a transaction on BCC, it is isolated on that fork. It will not go to BTC.
Of course. But what I'm saying is, can the miner decide that, you know, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck it, this is not worth it. I'm going back to the BTC. It was a better system then.
Yeah. I tell you, a wise miner will do both, right? Again, this is as practical and pragmatic, and that's why when we get into intellectual debates, that's why I could never sit in these committees, because it's always the splitting of the hairs of whether a tree in a forest makes any sound if nobody's there to hear it, or what does the sound of a one-hand clap sound like? I mean, that's what these guys wind up doing, and gals, but mostly guys. Unfortunately, I think if gals were there, there'd be much more unification. It's just the nature of the healing.
Probably have
nature.
Better reasoning.
There would be much better reasoning. So the egos take over, and they're contemplating their belly button philosophically. Instead, me as a miner, I practically and pragmatically say, okay, I will split my mining operation between two, and I'll wait and see. I don't need to take a political. I don't need to make a political choice. I will just bifurcate and see where it goes, because that makes sense.
Isn't that reduction in computing power and hash, hash computing power, and reduces their income?
Yes and no. This is where it gets interesting. Game mechanics involved in all this. Okay, so if on August 1st, 20% of BTC. Let's call it BTC Classic. I don't care what they're calling it. Let's call it BTC Classic so people can understand. BTC Classic, 20% of that mining value goes to BCC or Bitcoin Cash. Then there's 20% less mining power on Bitcoin. What that means financially it's something great for miners that are on Bitcoin. Why? Because there are less miners that are doing calculations to arrive at finding blocks. Therefore, your chance of finding a block is now 20% higher if you want to use simple mathematics. So you would be dumb not to take your, you'd be dumb to take your mining completely down. Now, on the other side is when BCC arises, there's going to be almost no miners. So the early miners are going to yield faster coins than anybody else.
Wow, so you're didn't think start, of that. Yeah, didn't think of that moment at this point in time.
You want to know who else isn't thinking of it? The eggheads that sit in these rooms with their propeller hats on thinking, oh, I'm not going to philosophically support that. You don't want to know why? They haven't mined a freaking thing in their life. All right. All they do is they look at the code, and that's great. And I love
here,
that they
here.
Do that.
This is coming from a miner himself.
Yeah, and I love what they do, and I love that they talk about what a one-handed clap sounds like, and all of this other stuff. But the philosophical aspect is irrelevant to somebody who has mining investment. They're looking at it from a really practical standpoint. I'll tell you what it is. And I don't want to encourage anybody to follow my craziness here. I'm just telling you the reality. The reality is, the moment BCC is created, there's only going to be one miner. Then there's going to be two. There's going to be three. And those coins are going to be dropping into your wallet like you've never seen before because you're the only ones mining it. I'm talking in theory because obviously there's a few of us who are practical and pragmatic, and we know that it's going to make a whole lot of sense to be there early. Now, this has nothing to do with mom and dad and your uncle and your crazy aunt that bought Bitcoin. I'm on the other side of this now. I'm talking purely from miners. And this is not Coinbase because they don't really functionally mine, at least officially. They're more just a keeper of what the work product of a miner is. And get it really clear. Every single thing Coinbase touches is a work product of a miner, period. They do not mine coins. And they are making a philosophical decision, not fully understanding, I believe, the practical and pragmatic realities of mining. And what they're doing is they're talking about the philosophies. Well, miners philosophically may not support it. You know something? Out of one side of their mouth, they're saying, hey, buddy, yeah, we're never going to do BCC. Don't you dare think we are. I'm supporting BTC, classic 100%. Meanwhile, they're taking 60% of their mining power over the BCC and securing that coin as quickly as they can. It's a land rush. That's what it is. And that's what it's going
it's
to be
It's pure
seen.
Economics, right? I mean, it's going to be a gold rush, and the first guys, you know, where's the gold mine? Where is everyone mining at? And you point in the wrong direction, right?
Of course.
You even show your saddle wheels going in that direction, and you say...
In fact, but, around Sutter Mills, there were people actually put gold dust in dead streams so that everybody could go down there while other mine. I mean, this is what happens. So what I'm saying is, if you really understand game theory and game mechanics, here's what is likely to happen. BTC is going to continue to rise and probably even rise quite quickly because people will say, whew, you know, the world didn't end, and you'll start seeing it grass probably to 3,000. But at the same time, BCC, this new bifurcation, is probably going to shoot up in a way that will freak people out to the point where it may make general front page news. In fact, it could possibly even be on the evening news. Bitcoin BCC has exploded to $10,000. It's a possibility. I'm not saying it's likely. All I'm saying is now let's go back to our original point of the user and what trust is about and why there is regulation, why there is trust in a bank, and why there are Grecian columns and these big safes. Some of the big safes were just an illusion. And back in the 1940s, they had artists that would literally draw on these safes to make them look even more, you know, more robust than what they really are. What I'm saying is, what happens to the person that's in a wallet that did not clearly articulate BCC being safe? What's going to happen is call to congressmen and senators. We're going to hold a committee meeting on Tuesday morning. Now, probably not that quick, but let's just say a month later when the dust settles. And we're going to call in the founders of X, Y, and Z, and they're going to testify what they've done to consumers' value. That is a place where nobody wants to be. So get this straight right now. if anybody can hear me, if you think I have any value to offer to this conversation, do the right thing. The right thing is to rest assure people that what they had before will be intact after. That's all I'm saying. And from the miner standpoint, listen, I knew people who turned on a Bitcoin miner on their graphics card within, say, a couple of months when Bitcoin was established. And their logic was very practical and pragmatic. And I learned a lesson from that because it wasn't me. I'm not all-knowing. I did it later. And I was lucky I did. But I laughed. I said, oh, they're wasting their CPU power on this. It's not worth it. The thing is, it did turn out to be worth it. And one particular gentleman who tried very diligently to convince me is worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars right now. Okay? And you'll never hear his name.
You want to give a name?
No, you'll never hear his name. He is not a usual suspect. You want to know who he is? He's nobody. He's absolutely nobody. He never goes on forums.
I'd like to be that nobody.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to say is somebody's going to turn a miner on BCC and they're going to sit back and they're going to say, you know, I don't care what you big boys at the big boy table are talking about. We have a whole universe down here that you don't even know. You don't even understand. In fact, you want to know something? In all of your abstraction talk, you forgot that we're the ones that matter. Because you don't have any coins to trade unless we mine them. And that is an absolute fact. And that's why abstraction coins that are not based on mining will always not reach the zenith that Bitcoin has reached. It's the part that most people just don't want to deal with. It's the same problem in Silicon Valley, right? Silicon Valley wants to create all these great solutions, but nobody wants to sell a freaking thing in their life. They want to create these big things for businesses, yet nobody believes that sales is a noble and wise pursuit. They go, well, you know, people will just know it and they'll self-generate to us and we'll... Anytime you see that bullshit take place in the world, you know that there is a lack of full knowledge of how humanity works. And so what happens with Bitcoin is they sort of pinch their nose at the miner. It's like, you're just some parasite that's in between us and our greater vision of making Bitcoin into something great. The reality is you don't exist without the miner. You don't exist without the farmer. You don't exist with the guy picking your apple. You don't exist with the guy cleaning your house, or your car, or your backyard. When we get so high and mighty that we forget where everything comes from, that's when we get abstracted out of making the right decisions for the right reasons for the right people. And the decisions being made now are being made, unfortunately, on abstractions on top of abstractions with people with propeller heads on thinking, well, you know, I know better because mathematically I can write code better than somebody else. Wow. Thank you very much. But you're not mining it, buddy. And why aren't you? If you're so smart, why aren't you mining it? This is part of the problem. Part of the problem is, well, I don't need to. Oh, I could have. You know, if you ask some of these people that are making these decisions, if they have a miner running, their own miner, and they tell you no, it's like asking the CEO of McDonald's, do they eat at their restaurant? You know, do your kids eat here? You know, and it brings me to another point, and Steve Jobs famously said, my kids are not allowed to have an iPad. You know, and if he was still alive today, I think he would have articulated that in much finer detail. What that means is Steve was honest. And what it means, he also understands consumption. He understands what side his bread is buttered on. And even though it would have been financially the best thing to do, oh yes, my kids are on it all the time, he said, no, they're not. He just never had the moments to really explain in deep detail the articulation of what that looks like and how it transgressed in their lives. I think the problem with leadership within Bitcoin right now is they don't understand that they exist because miners exist. And I think because they're so farly removed from the process of getting their hands dirty and their white gloves and their white shoes are so separated from it that they forget exactly what we're doing here. We're creating value based on a psychological outlook that humans have. A positive psychological outlook to the future. every form of abstraction currency is that some are backed by the quote-unquote full faith of a government or an institution, but that is still a psychological investment that one is making. And that's why when people use the tulip craze and Bitcoin has no value, it's a pyramid scam, true on all counts, and so is everything else. You know, the bottom line is, when we move an asteroid containing more gold than will ever be found by 10,000 times to low Earth orbit, then what is value? See, all of this is going to lead to this. We talked about this before, Faisal. All of it's going to be leading to this. And that's why these debates of one hand clapping sounds of what these are just philosophical. They're fun to have endless debates. But when you start taking them seriously and saying, oh, man, you know, my currency is more valuable than yours, and it becomes ridiculous. And that's why it's so intertwined with politics, and that's why it's so intertwined with emotion, and that's why regulators are just ready to get to regulate this. And if this is done the wrong way, and I already articulated very clearly what the wrong way is, and that's what's going down now, is the wrong way. This wrong way goes the way it is. It's going to be regulated to a degree we've never seen before.
Could this fork kill Bitcoin itself?
No.
I mean, could this be a start where, I don't know, Ethereum takes over as the new Bitcoin?
Ethereum has no problem existing. It will continue to exist and it will do well. But Bitcoin is going nowhere, and this will not even slightly impact it. What it will do is will impact people's emotional state of trust.
Had you asked, you know, the same question with people who made Netscape, they would have said, no, Netscape is not going anywhere. You know, had you asked the same thing, you know, Eudora no one uses anymore. If you asked, but you get my point, right?
Yeah, you know.
Blockbuster. Is this the blockbuster moment for Bitcoin?
I don't think so. But I understand your point, and that's a well-taken point. The problem comes when we don't observe how Bitcoin is created. And I can't stress this enough. Miners are making the bet. And as long as miners decide to support something, Bitcoin exists. It is not the tail wagging the dog, right?
I get you. But there is also, you know, the chain reaction from the consumers, if that picks up and and heads towards Ethereum. I mean, you could mine all the Bitcoins in the world, it wouldn't matter.
It will normalize, but in the short term, if BCC explodes and Coinbase was on the wrong side of history, and
which I think many people will know that they will be on the wrong side of history.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm talking not so much for not supporting it. I don't care about that. What I care about them is being on the wrong side of history of not articulating that they will secure these coins on a fiduciary responsibility on behalf of their users. That is the only thing this is all about. The rest of it will work itself out. You're damn certain that if BCC rises up to be thousands of dollars, Coinbase will do everything in their power to support it. But between now and then, the optics of this is insanity. And the people advising this company need to take a step back and need to really examine not the politics of who's voting for what, but what do their users feel like? It's all that matters in the end. And that's what moves mountains. That's what changes laws. That's how humanity moves forward and backwards. It's through the optics.
So Brian, we have a couple of minutes left. I want to take your thought on a couple of things. Number one, towards the year end, with this BCC split and BTC split, where do you see the price of Bitcoin, you know, sort of hovering safely?
By the year's end?
Yep.
I think we're probably going to be safe to say above $3,000 for Bitcoin Classic and probably a few hundred dollars for BCC. But to get there is going to be a wild ride on both sides. You may see Bitcoin drop to $900 in this process, and you may see BCC drop to 50 cents. But ultimately, the value will rise.
And what about the acceptability of BCC?
You know, at this point, doesn't even matter. What matters is whether or not there's a perceived value in the market. The market makers do this first. So the miners are voting first. If a substantial number of miners have moved their power of mining over to BCC, it will intrinsically, automatically have a value that is a sum total of the mining power that's behind it. There's a bit of a game theory sort of calculation one can use based on how much, you know, calculation power is behind a coin. It's just, you know, and it's not very clear, and a lot of people disagree with me about it. But so thus far, it's working its way out. So when you see that, it's going to ascend to a certain value. And that's all that's required first. Then the traders get involved, and the traders look at arbitrage opportunities, and they're going to look at the differential between Ethereum, Bitcoin, Classic, Litecoin, and other sort of cryptocurrencies, and to try to play against those. They are going to lift the market value of that currency almost immediately, and they're also going to drop it, but it will create more activity than most people are expecting, and then miners will have an effect of pulling more miner operations into BCC, the ones that were on the fence, and we'll see less mining operation on BTC, and that will, in fact, potentially create more value for Bitcoin. It's funny how this works. Too much mining power stabilizes a coin and maybe even has a drag on it. Less mining power actually creates a constraint in supply, and it literally draws more potential transactions into the vehicle, and it raises value. So, I mean, I'm not going to pretend that I know exactly where this is all going, but I know that there is a history of momentum throughout human history of what happens. And this is not about mathematics, has nothing to do with about algorithms and size of blockchain. It has to do with the psychology of miners, of investors, and of people. It's all it has to do with.
I think a lot of punters and speculators are about to enter the arena. I think that's a fair claim, right?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, it creates a perfect storm. Literally, in a sense, Coinbase and others that are not articulating what they're going to do with the value of the BCC that they hold on behalf of their customers, it might almost assure that BCC explodes in value. And that will have a negating effect on the public image of the companies that have not articulated what they're truly going to do with that value. And it may force them into reaction mode rather than action mode. And that's never a good place to be. Oh, we're going to cobble together code overnight to make sure you could trade your BCC now. We couldn't do it. It would have taken us months before. That's why we're not doing it, which is bullshit, ultimately. But now we're going to do it because, you know, there's a fire under a butt. And that fire under the butt might be the wrong phone call. And that might be a Senate committee, you know, or something along those lines. And that's what you don't want to get. Or worse yet.
It seems almost you're convinced that that's going to happen.
How could it not if you have moms, dads, grandmoms, and uncles trusted?
I get that part.
Yeah, I don't want to wish this upon anybody. You know, this can all not happen. It can all not happen just by being clear with what your intentions are.
Give me the password and I'll make it all go away, the pain.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, let's look at it this way. 99% of the people that have invested, and that's the word I use, invested into Bitcoin, don't have any clue and will never want to or even care to have a deep clue about what this all means from a technical standpoint. They don't want to. You know, you put your money in Coinbase because you didn't want to deal with all of that. You wanted to deal with trust. And Coinbase made some great leadership saying, well, we don't think BTC, we don't think BCC is going to do very well. BTC Classic is, and we're going to support that. Fine. That's not all they needed to say, though. That's fine that they made that position. What they needed to say immediately after that, however, all the BCC that you earn is yours. It is not ours. It will be held in this manner. And this is our immediate plans on how you can access it. And I believe the one thing that they need to be able to do and code for immediately is that if I leave Coinbase, I get BTC and BCC when I leave. And that solves a lot of problems. That means that I don't need to worry. There's no urgency. If I need to get out of it, I get my BCC. And there's no technical challenge in being able to do that. But right now, that's not articulated. Right now, it looks like if I don't move my money out of there, I'm just going to have BTC, and then BCC is gone. And if I leave after the fact, I've been stupid. Nobody wants to wake up on Wednesday morning or Thursday morning next week and feel stupid that $350 of their value was cut off.
Left on the table.
Yeah. No, nobody wants to feel that way. And, you know, how many times do I need to say it? Why is this not logical to anybody listening to my voice in a powerful position? Why is that not logical? Drop the bullshit with the political debate here and just deal with what your customers are feeling. That's a logical conclusion. It's not me talking this. I'm just giving voice to what I've heard, by the way. And the bottom line is, all these people making these decisions do not control mining operations. And you brought up China. And I want to make clear about the whole element of the 51% within Bitcoin. You know, most of Bitcoin mining is now done in Asia for a lot of reasons. A lot of them are political, actually, because they get free electricity. That's a political reason. And in history, we might study that and really try to understand it. The fact that they took it over because they have dams that are producing electricity at zero cost gives them a unique advantage to control this. And this, out of chaos comes order. Okay? And we're in a chaotic moment. And it almost makes sense for chaos to exist when you're in the market on both sides of this. And I'm not trying to be conspiratorial about it. I'm just saying it just makes it very logical that this is going to happen this way. And it, I don't think people are thinking about the three-dimensional chess that's taking place with this. And I think they think it's an aberration. Even the people who follow this on a very technical level, even the people making these decisions, I don't think they're really understanding that it's miners that are driving this, and they may have a different agenda than what they're publicly stating. I guess it's the best way I can put it.
Well, Brian, thank you very much for that insight. I think we will find out. The next week is certainly going to be very interesting. We would like to get this episode out ASAP because it is a time-bound episode. Great to have you on the mic, my friend. We'll speak soon. Till then, take care.
Thank you, Faisal. Wonderful to be back. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
You know, for centuries, the ultra-wealthy have been putting their money where their mouths are by investing in fine wine. And now, with Vint, you can do that too. At Vint, we offer SEC-qualified investment opportunities of fine wine and spirits curated by our experts with portfolio managers. With Vint, you can invest and diversify into the most sought-after assets that have a history of price appreciation. Learn more at vint.co. For full investment disclosure information and more, visit vint.co.